Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yeah, that was that time of the year again. Had the eyes checked before coming into work. My pupils are so dilated right now, I look like I'm probably celebrating the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, complete with all of the bad things that went around the original Woodstock. Phil, I just have one question. Is there anything but black in my pupils right now, or is it looks like the Stewie Griffin parody, right, of Stewie Griffin at Woodstock selling his t-shirt for a hamburger? Okay, that's what I thought. The good news is the prescription hasn't changed, so that's good. Life is good. Hopefully you had a magnificent weekend. I certainly had a magnificent weekend. It was a very, very full weekend for your humble host. Started out on Friday night, had the opportunity to show up at the Hit and Run Band 30th anniversary show, and that was a great deal of fun. They let me play a couple of songs with them. That was fun. Then went over to Southline Fire Company, and they had a big lawn fete going on over there with Flipside playing. And Mrs. Nerd and I hitting the dirt. No. We were not intoxicated. No. It was not a domestic situation. It was a situation of, I don't know what it was. We were screwing around. But we were obviously both laughing and both having a great time until the drive home, when we both realized that we were nursing various sprains, strains, stiffnesses, and everything else. I think I got the worse of it than she did. But no, she was not in any way, shape, or nor was I in any way, shape, or form intoxicated, inebriated, impaired, or anything else. But I would pay for YouTube video of that. I would pay for that to be on video, because it was one of those things where, you know, you're standing around with a whole bunch of friends, and then suddenly you're not standing anymore. And I'll tell you what it was. The stage was obviously on one end of the beer tent, right? And then it was like elevated a little bit on dirt. And I think we both took the dirt at the wrong angle at the wrong time, off of balance. And it was, I would actually pay. Not that much, but I would pay for video. And then Saturday, we were guest bartenders, as it turned out, because a friend of ours is really big with the Scottish Heritage Festival and needed some volunteers to be bartenders at the Scottish Heritage Festival on Friday. I had never been a bartender before. It was an absolute riot. There were about five of our friends and your humble host, and we had developed a great system for getting people their beer as quickly and as expeditiously as possible, their soft drinks the same way, their wine the same way, and it was really a great deal of fun, followed by going up to Pendleton, which was just a few minutes away, and Pendleton Days, and seeing the Nerds Gone Wild. Had a chance to play a song with the Nerds Gone Wild, and then yesterday I had a chance to take Mom down to Canal Side, and Mom's favorite restaurant at Canal Side is the Liberty Hound. And thank God Mom has a handicapped parking spot. But anyway, it was a great deal of fun. Mom loves going to the waterfront. And the reason, one of the reasons is, of course, is that my dad, and maybe your dad as well, if we're all of a certain general age, he used to walk around when basically Buffalo's waterfront consisted of the Erie Basin Marina and the Hatch, and he saw such great potential down there by the waterfront. So it's just great to go down there and see the look on Mom's face with thousands or hundreds of people walking around on a brilliant Sunday fun day. And in fact, the whole weekend proved to be a Sunday fun day, and we have extended the Sunday fun day. Oh, no, we extended it into Sunday night with a stop off at Billy and Courtney Bing's house for an intensive game of wiffle ball. late on a Saturday night, so, or on a Sunday night rather. So it was great. But sometimes, don't you get the feeling that you work harder in the weekend than you do at your real job? I know I often find that to be the case. But I want to do something that I've never done before, and I have no. You mean a good show? Yeah, that too. But. I want to do something that I've never done before, and I hope it works, because if it doesn't, I'm going to sit here and talk to myself for a few hours. But I don't think that's going to be the case. Sometimes it's the shows you do that you don't know you're having an impact on people that actually you are having an impact on people. Let me just give you one example. About two, maybe 3 months ago, did a show on Lyme disease, L-Y-M-E. And Lyme disease is, obviously, it's named after Lyme, Connecticut, and it is caused by a tick which infects the blood, and it is very, very, it's a very bad disease to have. And as it turns out, talking to one of my kids over the weekend, because we also found time to take one of the kids to lunch while the other one was enjoying a beautiful Saturday afternoon, turns out that one of my kids' friends actually developed Lyme disease. And I mean, this is a young lady. This is somebody who is in the peak of youth and in the flower, the full bloom of youth. And I was sorry to hear that individual had Lyme disease. And then I don't know exactly how this conversation started over the weekend, but you know how that you don't talk about something for a long time, and then somebody brings it up, and then somebody else brings it up, and before you know it, it's all you hear. That must have happened to you. Like, nobody talks ever about getting a motorcycle, and then one person says, hey, I think I'm going to buy a motorcycle, and somebody else says, oh, I just bought a motorcycle, and then before you know it, everybody starts talking about motorcycles. And the same thing with boats or horses or anything like that that people buy, muscle cars, vintage cars, whatever. So we got into a conversation, and I can't even tell you the genesis of this conversation, but it all boiled down to the fact that I'm pretty sure that everybody in Western New York has celiac disease. Now, I had not heard of celiac disease in 30 years ago, is maybe when I first heard about celiac disease. And everywhere I went over the weekend, I kid you not, it was like I suddenly entered into a celiac disease convention. Phil, you've heard of celiac disease, right? You have not heard of celiac disease. Now, this is shocking to me. Scotty, have you heard of celiac? You haven't heard of celiac disease. Okay, well, see, I've got relatives with celiac disease. In fact, one of them actually started a bakery for her kid called Brian's Best in honor of celiac disease, because it's one of the few bread kind of products that little Brian, well, he eats a little anymore, Brian can eat. You were going to say, Phil.
It's the actual gluten disorder.
Yeah, yeah. And it's nasty. And it really plays havoc with people. And I guess the problem with celiac disease is that, like many other diseases, it can mimic many other things. And it can really make people absolutely miserable. I mean, and it's one of those things where, you know, if you have a heart attack, people feel sorry for you. If you have cancer, people feel sorry for you. If you have, you know, X, Y, and Z, people generate the sympathy. But celiac disease is something that I guess we're just supposed to grin and bear and run along with it. So celiac disease, and again, folks, this is just the strangest. It's such a weird feeling of synchronicity when one person mentions something in one social setting, and then somebody else mentions it in a totally different social setting, and then before you know it, it's all you seem to hear. But celiac disease, it runs in families. If you have a parent, a kid, a brother, a sister with the disease, what they say is you should talk with your doctor about whether you should be tested for celiac disease. It is more common in people who have type 1 diabetes. There are two types of diabetes. Type 1, they used to call juvenile diabetes. They don't call it that anymore. They call it type 1 diabetes. Certain kinds of liver diseases, thyroid disease, Down syndrome, Turner syndrome, Williams syndrome, which I've never heard. And there's a whole bunch of tests that people take to determine whether or not they have celiac disease. And apparently you have to have gluten even if you are on a gluten-free diet, because somewhere somebody along the way suspected that you might have celiac disease, even if you're on a gluten-free diet, before you go in for the actual testing for celiac disease, your doctor might actually put you on what they call a gluten challenge plan before you take certain tests. So you're going to have like 2 servings of gluten bread every day for 8 weeks. There are all kinds of ways, apparently, to diagnose and figure out whether or not you've got celiac disease. There is a blood test, which tests for certain antibodies in your blood. There is a genetic test. What's it called? HLA. Did I get that right? Genetic test. And that is, I think that's one of the gold standard testing of celiac disease. But it got me to thinking about 2 things. All the talk this weekend I heard in my little social circle of friends, which I guess isn't so little anymore, but it got me thinking about Lyme disease and how many people, it turns out, have Lyme disease or know somebody who has Lyme disease. And it also got me thinking about the other stuff over the years that we've talked about that singularly or by itself didn't seem like a big deal. But then when you add up all the people that you know who've had experiences with it, suddenly it becomes, huh, there must be something to it. And when did this all start? It reminded me of the vaccination show. Remember we talked about vaccinations a little bit last week? And we what did we say? Last week it was like, okay, where did all the nut allergies come from? For the longest time, nobody had any allergies to peanuts. And then suddenly, you know, 1 kid in 100 develops a peanut allergy. And then 2 kids in 100 develop peanut allergies. And before you know it, nobody can bring peanut butter sandwiches to work. Like, where do these things come from? So I'm just kind of curious here as we move along on WBEN, because it clearly... It's out there. Celiac disease is clearly out there. It's clearly a real thing. It is quite obviously quite an imposition, I would think, on the way you live your life. And it can really make you miserable. I mean, I'm not going to run through all of the gastrointestinal symptoms that the celiac disease can bring out. But for those of you who have a particularly bad case of it, it can really make your life absolute misery. So if I am just kind of curious, and part of this is because of my own curiosity, and part of it is because I think that there is something to this more than my own curiosity, but that actually that might be of interest to those of you who are going through various issues in your life. Has celiac disease, is this a part of your family? Is this a part of what you go through on a daily basis, either with yourself or with your kids? And is it one of these things like Lyme disease where there are actually some doctors who give people a hard time over Lyme disease? Like, well, you don't really have Lyme disease. Lyme disease isn't really a real thing. And they've even come up with an expression when it comes to Lyme disease of Lyme-friendly doctors. So I got to ask you the question, is celiac disease a part of you or your family's existence? And when did it get to be that way for you? And no, I'm not a doctor, but I am a human being sometimes. And I am interested in finding out what you're going through on that particular front. And just some of the basic reading, some of the basic stuff that I went through over the weekend before the show. A lot of people don't even know they have celiac disease. And there are people who look into celiac disease. It's what they do for a living, researchers into celiac disease. And they think as few as 1 in 5 people who have celiac disease ever find out that they have celiac disease. And it goes beyond the normal gastrointestinal symptoms that I think we're all familiar with, and I see no reason to rehash at this point, especially after Friday's show on underwear. But damage to the intestines happens slowly. And the symptoms of celiac disease, I guess like a lot of other diseases, they vary a lot from person to person. So for some of you, it might literally have taken years to get a diagnosis of celiac disease. And then the question becomes, guys, if you have been diagnosed with celiac disease, what can you eat and what can you not eat, and what kind of a cramp, no pun intended, or a crimp does this put on the way you live your life? Because a lot of the good foods that we really enjoy do contain gluten or various gluten derivatives. And, you know, one of the, from my perspective here, one of the most rewarding parts about doing a program like this, and we're not going to do it all day, I don't anticipate we're going to do it all day, but we're going to spend some time talking about it, is that I know that in 6 months or a year, somebody is going to walk up to me at a function and say, hey, do you remember that show you did on celiac disease? And I'll say, yeah, I vaguely remember. We did it sometime back in the summer of 2019. And they're going to say, yeah, it turns out that I went to my doctor and they sent me to a specialist and it turns out that I have it. And it turns out that the show changed my life. So hopefully we'll have that kind of a result today. And I'm under no delusion. I simply am the vehicle, the conduit, if you will, through which the show passes, not the life-changing force itself. Is celiac disease a part of what you have to go through, what you experience on a daily basis? How did you even find out that you had celiac disease? What were the, you know, what told you that it was something that you actually had to look up, or something that about which you actually had to be concerned? And suddenly, my computer has done what? You ever like click on a computer window, and it opens up the window? And then you try to bail out of the window, and it just, it won't let you bail out. Guess whose computer just did that? Yeah, it would be my computer. So now I just have to reopen thing, which is also good. Let's see. There's actually a Celiac Disease Foundation, which I did not know prior to this weekend. The overview of celiac disease, this is the page I was trying to get to before the computer went out on me. Celiac disease is sometimes called celiac, am I saying this right, sprue, S-P-R-U-E, or gluten-sensitive enteropathy? Gluten-sensitive, and the symptoms, as we said before, they can be the heavy-duty gastrointestinal symptoms that there's no reason to go into, but even fatigue. And I read somewhere that actually people can actually go through depression and have no idea that the reason they're going through depression is this celiac disease. And then sometimes I've heard, this is a secondhand story, I've heard that somebody talked about having celiac disease and the person that they were with disbelieved that they even had celiac disease, which brought me, anyway, mentally back to the time where we did the show on Lyme disease and all the people were talking about how difficult it was to get a doctor to even believe that they had Lyme disease. So if this celiac disease stuff is part of your life, I would like you to tell us about it. What was your first clue? What was the testing like? And does it put a crimp on how you live your life? I mean, for example, somebody like your humble host here, I would think nothing of ordering a pizza. Some would argue that I really should think something about ordering a pizza, but it's not really a big deal. Within reason, I don't really have to watch what I eat. Granted, I got to make sure I don't eat too much sodium, got to make sure I don't eat too much fat, got to make sure I don't do this, got to make sure I don't do that. But for the most part, it's pretty easy. But because gluten is a part of so many different things, I can't begin to imagine what a hassle and a headache that has got to be for those of you who have a family member or maybe yourself going through it. I mean, even like the stupid things that we take for granted, like going out for dinner, that it's got to be a bit of an imposition. And look, I am also fully aware of the fact that there are people going through far heavier things over, you know, over a lifetime. But when you start talking about what people can eat and what they can't eat and having to adjust pretty much everything they do based on what their body can tolerate reasonably and what it can't tolerate, it becomes a big deal for people. Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. So, celiac disease, C-E-L-I-A-C, I swear, one person brings it up and about a million different people bring it up, at least in the circle of friends that I have. And I can't believe how many people have it or how common it seems to be. Your tales, your experiences, and it seems, and I don't have the stats right in front of me, but it seems to me, anecdotally, to be a lot more common than even Lyme disease, on which a lot of people called in. Here is... Here's Darby in East Amherst. Darby, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you, Tom, for welcoming me. About 3 years ago, my husband, who is in his 70s, was losing a lot of weight through bathroom, you know.
Yes, I think we've got the picture on that one.
Right. And, you know, he had had cancer at one point, so we were all thinking, well, he's probably he has a reoccurrence of cancer or something going on. So he called his regular doctor, and he gave him a very expensive antibiotic. They had to order it up special, and he took it, and nothing changed. He kept losing the weight. And he was miserable, and nobody seemed to have any idea of what it was. And he, I said, just look in the, you know, directory of our medical group and see who's in charge of gastroenterology or whatever.
Right.
And he just called to this one gentleman, a doctor, and he said, you know, I have a very good idea of what you have. And he said, it's called celiac. And no one in his family has it. He ended up losing 35 pounds total. They did a colonoscopy. This is him. I mean, they did a colonoscopy, and they took some biopsies. And there's a certain amount of, I think he was 400, which is very high, which means he was not absorbing any food whatsoever. It would just, you know, disappear. And the doctor told him, because he had been his damaged, you know, inside intestines were so damaged, he would have to be very careful what he ate. Now he's gained the weight back. For anyone that has it, we're very fortunate because there are so many products now that are wheat free. You have to read the back of the box.
Yeah.
And if you are careful, you can live very easily.
If I would think that it would be, I mean, just listening to you talk and listening to people I heard speaking over the weekend, I would think that it would be a tremendous inconvenience. I mean, and you talk about the products that are available. This is a cheap plug from my ex-sister-in-law's bakery, but, I mean, she started basically a gluten-free bakery called the Brian's Best to meet the need in part for people with celiac disease.
Well, that's wonderful, because we used to love Paula's Donuts.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, when it came to any of the holidays, the donuts were involved or baked goods, I'd be the first one out to buy them. In a way, I mean, we have all changed our – I mean, I eat the same thing as he does, obviously. But as you learn about it, you find that it's not as difficult – you know, you have to avoid things. So let's say at a wedding, we went to a wedding, and they had roast beef and gravy. Now, he couldn't have the gravy because it has wheat in it.
Really?
Yeah. You have to be very careful.
Yeah, jeez.
And macaroni and cheese, that's pasta. He can't have that. You mentioned pizza. He can't have standard pizza.
Are you guys of Italian descent? Is your husband of Italian descent?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, try to tell somebody of Italian descent that they got to be careful with pasta. This is a grim day.
Yes. Well, it wasn't an easy day for him to accept. And when the doctor explained to him what would happen if he did not follow the diet, you know, the dietary requirements, he said, you're going to be in very bad shape. And that he was older was kind of a surprise to the doctor that he developed this.
So this is, again, this is something that is wacky, and this is something which has really sparked my interest in celiac disease after having so many people bring it up coincidentally at different places over the weekend. I was always under the impression that this was something that you were born with and something that you knew that you had going back many, many years, and you're telling me your husband was in his 70s before he had any inkling of what was going on.
He will, he was just 75 in May, and it's been 3 years.
Good grief.
So, no, he wasn't born with it, and no one else in the family has it.
Well, and as far as you are concerned, have you also lost the weight because you are presumably eating better, just like your husband's eating better?
Well, I would like to say I was, but I still sneak the donuts and a few things, too. I just don't bring them home.
Well, yeah, which, you know, you've got the advantage there. You can, you know, just drive around the neighborhood and enjoy Paula's peanut stick or a cannoli donut on Wednesday, whatever happens to be your food of choice from Paula's.
But I just want to say one thing to anyone that is thinking they may have this. Go and see somebody and tell them you feel this is what, you know, is bothering you. Tom says that he feels 100% better than he ever did.
This is your husband, Tom?
Yes, my husband. Even before he was diagnosed and even before he had any problems at all, he said, I have never felt better.
Well, I am delighted that you called in. I'm delighted that you told us what happened with your husband. And I believe this is going to be the first of many similar stories that we're going to hear today on WBEN, because this is one of these things. It's like it's something that so many people have and yet so few people talk about in a forum like this, where maybe, you know, God forbid, somebody might actually be helped.
Well, exactly, and I truly believe that somebody, will be helped by your program, and thank you for having it, Tom.
Well, thank you for the phone call, and best continued success to your husband, Tom, and yourself. And again, folks, I'm going to ask what probably to many of you is going to be a stupid question. When you were you diagnosed when you were younger, or did you have to wait until you were in your 60s or 70s before somebody came along and said, hey, the reason why you are fatigued all the time, the reason why you've got this gas issue all the time, you might consider that maybe you've got celiac disease, C-E-L-I-A-C apostrophe S. And no, it doesn't seem fair that especially somebody who loves pasta or who was born on pasta has to make alternative pasta arrangements. We go to a Guy on WBEN. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I do not have celiac sprue. A friend of mine did, though. I mean, he found out about 20 years ago. And, he found out, I think he was giving blood and found out that he couldn't because he had no iron in his blood.
Whoa.
He looked terrible. He looked like he could use a few pints of blood. He never had any energy, none whatsoever. And he just had to find out what the problem was and did all kinds of testing and found out he had celiac sprue. And, you know, the diet that they put him on obviously was very much like a diabetic diet.
Let me ask you, and forgive the stupidity of some of my questions, okay, because I didn't think I was going to do a show on celiacs today until pretty much late yesterday when the 18th person brought it up over the weekend in a rare display of serendipity. But what is celiac brew? Is that the same thing as celiac disease?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Sprue might be a variation of...
Oh, that's right. I said that before. S-P-R-U-E.
It's S-P-R-U-E. That's exactly what he was diagnosed with, celiac sprue. And it's definitely, Dr. Joel Wallach has been saying this since like 1970. Gluten is no good for you. Most Americans are gluten intolerant, and it manifests in different ways in different people. Now, it definitely causes celiac sprue. It causes Crohn's disease. Now, glue is actually, was named after gluten. And when you remember when you were a kid in elementary school, how did you make glue? Well, you mixed flour and water. That is what is getting into your colon and messing it up. It's staying in there. It's matting down the villi. So your body cannot absorb the nutrients that it's supposed to. So even though my friend was then taking iron, the body wasn't absorbing it. As soon as he couldn't give blood, he's like, well, I don't have any iron. I'll just take some iron. But his iron levels didn't go up because the body wasn't getting it. He had no villi in his intestine to actually absorb, because the glue 10, matted down his villi and was really causing some problems.
Let me ask you another stupid question. How is he with beer, liquor, alcoholic spirits of any kind?
He liked a couple beers, and he just uses gluten-free beer now. That's all. If he wants to have beer, he's very healthy now. I just saw him the other day at Awake. Looks great, very vital. And, the problem is, it manifests so many different ways, and doctors mistakenly say it's genetic. It is not genetic. Yes, it is passed on by your mother through cord blood or breast milk, but it is not genetic. It's not a genetic disease. And according to Joel Wallach, Dr. Joel Wallach, and pharmacist Ben Fuchs, there are very few genetic diseases. And actually, Dr. Wallach just wrote like a 1,000-page book on this.
Now that contradicts, and I'm not saying that you are wrong, because one thing I've learned about the internet and about research is trying to find the absolute truth can sometimes be trying to find a needle in a sea of needles. But some of what I read over the weekend suggested that there was a hereditary or genetic component or predispositions to this gluten, this celiac disease.
Because your mother had it and you think it's genetic. And the problem is that clouds the issue. Did you breastfeed? Was it passed through the sensitivity to gluten? Was it passed through cord blood? It does not mean that it's genetic. And Dr. Wallach is so intelligent, he literally sued the FDA to have selenium put in baby formula. And now across the nation, some states are actually crib debt free. That because it's in formula, and now pregnant women are taking selenium, these young children are not dying of crib death. It doesn't exist in some states.
Now, what does this selenium do?
I'm sorry?
What does this selenium or selenium do?
I don't know, but that specific deficiency of that specific trace mineral selenium was causing these kids to die, and doctors had no idea what it was. So they'd make up something stupid like, well, it got wrapped around in the bed clothes and died. They didn't know why the child was dying, and the autopsies weren't detecting this specific deficiency of a specific mineral.
Well, hold on, because obviously, you know, with a friend, and obviously he's got a very caring friend in you to do so much research on this, but if you're just joining us, no, you're not hearing things. We're doing a show on celiac disease, and without going through the entire introductory part of the program again, this is one of those topics where over the weekend, one person mentioned celiac disease, then the next day, somebody else mentioned celiac disease, and then before you knew it, every other conversation you overhear or people bring up, it came up in conversation. So I figured, well, if it's this common, how come I've never done a show on it? And that's why I'm doing it today. Let's go back to Guy in West Seneca. And as weird as this is, we're talking about celiac disease, which kept coming up in conversation after conversation amongst my circle of friends over the weekend. Guy's buddy has it. And would you describe the difference in Guy's demeanor and health and energy as night and day after being diagnosed and making the necessary dietary changes?
Not only was it night and day, looks-wise. I mean, he looked like a vampire. His skin was terrible. But he became so vital after. He tried out for SWAT, made it, and just recently he was the number two man in SWAT. So, second in command. So he's extremely healthy and very vital right now. The problem with gluten, which causes this celiac sprue, that it causes many other deficiencies too, Tom, and very important in one of your other shows that you talked about before. It was a great show you did on mental illness. They're finding now, they did a 23-county study in Texas, that kids that supplemented with lithium orotate, were much better adjusted, did better in school, didn't need the psychotropic drugs that they were on anymore that gives them this, a terrible demeanor.
Right.
Didn't have ADHD, grew up to be better citizens, didn't get in domestics with their wives compared to people that did not have the proper amount of the trace mineral lithium. And this goes right back to the Edgar Cayce readings on mental illness. And he brought up a specific city in Oklahoma where no one ever killed themselves and ever would. And it was because they sit upon one of the largest deposits of lithium in the world. So just growing your vegetables in the soil in this Bocoma, Oklahoma, drinking the water there, you are loaded with lithium, and everyone's chill. People don't get into domestics there. There's very little mental illness. People do not kill themselves. It's incredible what gluten does. It robs you of your minerals. It can cause baldness. It could cause you to go gray. It manifests so many different ways. And you brought up another malady, lupus, which many people think maybe caused, well, I shouldn't say many people. Dr. Joel Wallach says it is caused by a gluten intolerance. Some people are so gluten intolerant, they shouldn't even say the word gluten. They shouldn't be in your pet food. It's just a terrible, terrible thing that manifests differently. Eczema, dermatitis, asthma in children is all caused by a gluten intolerance. The same exact things that cause thing that causes celiac sprue and Crohn's disease.
Well, I'm not, like, as a doctor, I'm not one to enjoy, you know, the word all or always. But I mean, I'm glad you shared the information, and it's certainly something for people to research in their own due time. And I'm glad that you called in with the information. I mean, you're a font of information on this stuff.
Thank you. Well, it's because something I studied, and another reason why is I'm saddled with something that may be detrimental to my health. And that is an excellent health care plan for the rest of my life. Being a retired cop, I have great health care. But the problem is, when you have great health care, your doctor treats you like an ATM and likes to treat symptoms, doesn't really want you to be cured. And a lot of the drugs they give you don't cure you. It's something you'd have to take for the rest of your life, which is great for the doctor.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one, my friend. You're preaching to the choir on that. Thanks. Thank you very much for the call. Good to hear from you, and best of luck to your buddy, number two on the SWAT team. Appreciate it. All right. I am not a doctor. I'm not a chemist. That guy obviously has done some reading. There is a local band called Lithium. In fact, the drummer Bill Mason has a T-shirt that says "Got Lithium" on it with a big question mark after it. Bill got his haircut recently, so I'm not sure if he still qualifies as a musician or not.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.